Well, good afternoon, everyone, from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Doug Duda, the Doug and Daddy Show special Sunday edition, and you usually know what those special editions mean, and unfortunately lately, or fortunately, I guess, depending on your point of view, it means something big is happening locally or statewide in the world of sports, and that is the case today with the firing of Nebraska head football coach Bo Pelini after a 9-3 football season and an overtime win on Friday against Iowa. And the press conference with Sean Eichhorst, Nebraska Athletic Director, will be coming up here momentarily, scheduled for 1 o'clock. We've already started to see some of the dignitaries starting to file in here, and these are always interesting. Chris Schmidt, our host of Hail Varsity, 4 to 6 every weekday here on ESPN Radio, joins us for a couple of minutes. And Schmidt, wall-to-wall coverage going on across the state, big time here, security already here. How surprised are you?
You look at the 9-3 mark, and you felt like the Iowa win shouldn't have made a case one way or the other. It was, you got to the ninth win, and then kind of nationally and even locally, you just said, okay, you step back, 9 wins. Can you really do it again? And that's the thing a lot of Nebraska fans, I think, have in their mind is, look what happened after you removed the last guy who won nine games. And That's the danger. This is a tipping point moment in Nebraska football right now, because you've been through how many coaches now since Coach Osborne retired? And you look at some of the other programs who've been through 3 coaching changes. I'm talking Michigan and I'm talking Tennessee. Where are they at right now? They're still trying to get back to where they were with some of those previous coaches. And that's, if you make a move like this, you better be right and you better have the guy already in your back pocket.
Do you think the guy is already in the back pocket? Do you think Sean Eichhorst knows who the next football coach is? I will be shocked if there's any announcement today. I don't think there will be.
But I think there's too much season left. I think he knows who he wants. I think he has a reasonable chance of getting him. Otherwise, this move would not have happened. I believe that Nebraska's athletic director will not make the same mistake that the athletic director 2 AD years ago made with the searching for 40 days and 40 nights. So that's first and foremost. Two is the next coach going to be able to come here, embrace the fans, embrace the expectations, and take that next step? Or is it going to be 9-3 or worse again? Those are all questions. And three, interested to hear from Sean Eichhorst today. What was the deciding factor? I mean, there's a whole bunch of ingredients in this gumbo, but what was the tipping point?
We were talking about this earlier. We haven't had a show, obviously, since Wednesday, since
Same
this
here.
All came down. But being at the game in Iowa City on Friday, talking to Sam Foltz, Jack Gangwish, other players that were there, you could tell that there was some emotion. You don't see the emotion, the red eye, the catching your breath, the choking a little bit. And I just knew at that time, they knew. They knew at that time. So I believe that this decision was obviously made and that it was brought down before kickoff because, and I'm just going straight off of what I saw emotion standpoint as we wait for Sean Eichhorst here at the top of the hour. Chris Schmidt is with us. But I think there's three groups of people here, Chris. You've got the people that just don't like Bo Pelini. You got the people on the complete other side that say, you know what, 9-3, 10-2, give me that every year, give me my chances. And then you've got the vast majority of people that just hate the blowout loss. It doesn't matter
what it is. It's the embarrassment factor.
Yeah, on national TV, I said last week, I said, would you rather be 6-6 and lose 5 games by less than 10, or would you rather be 10-2 and take a blowout every year? People had a hard time with that question.
You don't want to get blown out ever. And Nebraska fans have been through that for the last several years in big games. And I think your theory is probably accurate with you lose to Minnesota, tough one. You had the Wisconsin meltdown, and Iowa really didn't matter. I think the decision was made prior to Iowa. I think you're right. And what do you do now? You want to move this program forward. You want to play in big games. That'll happen because you're at Nebraska, but you need to win big games. And ultimately, when Sean Eichhorst asked that question, that'll be his answer. Nebraska needs to win big games. Nebraska needs to play. Ask yourself this if you're a Nebraska fan, and I like Bo. I was a Bo supporter. I thought 9-3, 10-2 in college football, 10-4, while it's not spectacular, it's way above average when you look at the ebbs and flows of college football. I mean, LSU, for God's sake, is going to be a 4 or 5 loss team this year.
Yep.
You look at the Mississippi schools that kind of rose up. Well, they're coming back to earth now. So college football is a way different animal where you're going to have that peak season where you might win 11 and 12 contests. two seasons later, you could be a 3 or 4 win program, depending on how development went. So Sean Ikor still, no doubt, I think have his guy, has his vision, and he'll move forward. The embarrassment factor, though, I think is the key thing. And do you like, ask yourself this if you're a Nebraska fan, do you like how Nebraska plays football? Watching it.
You know what? I'll tell you what. The way Amir Abdullah ran when you're down 14 points, when you're watching Pearson L trying to do what he does, when you watch Kenny Bell come back off the concussion, even though there were quite a few players missing on Friday, I think when they knew the writing was on the wall. I like the way Nebraska players play, but I don't think there's anything totally different when people say they gave up. I'll tell you what. I don't know about giving up, but I've watched a lot of football just this year. When the game is no longer in doubt, these guys aren't going to go out there and get their – you know, they're not going to get broken up. They're going to run the play. But, yeah, you're going to drop a little intensity. I'll tell you.
When I asked that question about do you like how Nebraska plays football, talking penalties, I'm talking body
penalties
language.
And discipline.
I'm talking.
Yeah, there's definitely a problem there.
As far as the busts or the execution that's talked about, how solid's that been?
Yeah, that's definitely. We were talking about that colleague of mine coming down here just today. Saying, you know what, I'm not anti-Bo, but there's no reason that we have all these penalties all the time. Things that other programs, and he brought up Bill Snyder, you've got these discipline programs. Wisconsin didn't have a lot of penalties this year. Things like that, the small things that should not be a problem out there. I'll switch it to you a little bit. And again, Doug and Daddy show, we will be on a little bit before, a little bit after the Sean Ikorst Athletic Director press conference here today, scheduled to start at 1 o'clock at Memorial Stadium about the firing of head coach Bo Pelini. Barney Cotton will be the interim. They have to play a bowl game. Barney Cotton has been named interim head coach. Of course, he is the associate head coach, and the coaches are on contract, so the assistants will be, unless something different is told to us here, they will be with this team, most likely Holiday Bowl. We're hearing USC. We'll have a whole lot of time to talk about how that probably won't be pretty for this program. But nationally, what kind of message is this sending, Chris?
Well, it's the message to those out there that just kind of now pat Nebraska football on their head. Nice program, solid wins.
Love your fans.
Right. The message is you are making a move to now to try and become elite. This next move has to put you in that elite atmosphere. This next move has to put you in the position to win a Big Ten West, win a Big Ten conference title, and go play in the New Year's Day Six or beyond, that Final Four eventually. That's the only way this move works out.
Do you think that it matters who the next coach is? And I say it this way. I mean, there's so much social media that there are stupid. I mean, I say people that you go talk about that are just don't make any sense to a Jim Tressel. Does it matter? Because as I said, I don't think it matters who the name is. They just want them to win the conference championship. It doesn't matter if you bring in the Wisconsin Whitewater coach from Sean Ikorst Day or you bring in Jim Tressel or anything in between. They must win, and they must win right away.
They need to win. From a splash value, I'll be interested to see if what's the motivation. Is the motivation as an athletic director to be the splash AD, make a sexy hire, put your stamp on it? Is it an ego move, or is it a best interest of the program? Here's the best coach. Here's who we can get. Here's who I believe in. What side of the fence is that pick going to be on?
Well, the press conference scheduled to start at 1. If it's like everything else, it'll start about 1:08 or something like that here today, and we will have it here live on ESPN Radio. And again, our friends here at 1480 in Lincoln, if you're on the interstate, you'll want to be picking that up. Yep. If you're closer to Lincoln, Schmitty and his boys will be covering it wall-to-wall this afternoon as well. I just I don't know what to think. I mean, I don't think
– morning go? I mean, seriously, I'm up. I'm letting the dog out at 6:30. I've been checking email crazily the last 24 hours.
Yeah, just watching, waiting for that to happen.
And did you feel like, okay, something will happen, but it'll be another statement? Did you feel this was going to happen?
A lot of people thought today was the day. That's why I was keeping real good track. And just a moment before the email came down via a player, found out that it was over and immediately scrapped the church plans and got ready to come to Lincoln. I mean, that's what it was. You know, let's face it, I was trying to put in fantasy football lineups this morning, Schmitty. I was trying to go about a normal Sunday and get ready to watch some NFL today. But
pastor asked me why I wasn't there. I
guess this tells you what's higher in Nebraska, you know, is it church or football, and that's how it's viewed here. That's how it is viewed here as we get very, very close. And Schmitty, we see that athletic director Eichhorst is being walked. Well, he's a friendly man. Mm-hmm. He's a friendly man. He is walking into the press area, and our press conference will get underway here momentarily. I'll let you get in there and ask the first question.
Thanks, Doug.
Don't forget, folks, Hail Varsity, 4-6 weekdays here on ESPN Radio and 1480 in Lincoln. We'll keep it with you until Sean Eichhorst begins to address the media on the firing of head coach Bo Pelini, where the program goes from here, why the coach was dismissed. We may have a little lapse from my voice to the athletic director's voice, but athletic director Sean Eichhorst has the podium, and we are ready to come here to Lincoln and Nebraska. Athletic director Sean Eichhorst.
Sean Eichhorst, director of athletics. We'll have an opening statement, and then we'll take questions.
Thank you, David. Thank you all for being here today. Last night, after consulting with Chancellor Perlman, I made the decision that our university needs new leadership in our football program, and I informed Coach Pelini of my decision this morning. Careful consideration and contemplation went into my decision process, and I'm well aware of the short-term impact on our student-athletes. But in the end, this is what's best for the university. Certainly the results of our games this season and in previous seasons played a significant role in my decision. But whenever I evaluate a head coach, I consider a number of factors both on and off the field beyond the outcomes of games. Let me say this. The people of Nebraska deserve not only high standards and expectations, but they deserve seeing our people and our teams reach them. I indicated during my introductory press conference that we will compete for Big Ten and national championships, and we will do so with class, integrity, sportsmanship, and with a commitment to our student athletes. I believe the action taken today is in line with that vision. Our football student athletes had the weekend off, as many of you know, and left campus to return home. Unfortunately, I was unable to inform them in person, so I did so via written communication this morning and will be following up with them tonight. Nebraska has some of the finest young men and women of character in all of college sports, and I'm confident they will continue to work hard in the classroom, compete with class, and make us all proud. Barney Cotton is a Husker through and through, and serves as our associate head coach. Barney and I spoke this morning, and he has agreed to serve as our interim head football coach and will work with our other assistant coach and staff members to prepare our wonderful team for a bowl game. Coach Cotton is a man of integrity and a great teacher of the game of football, and I know he will do great things moving forward to put us in a positive situation before we get a new leader in place. I will work diligently in the coming days to find the absolute best fit for the University of Nebraska, but I will not comment on or speculate about the process or the people. We have the best fan base in all of college sports, a legion of generous supporters, abundant resources, and first-class facilities. We compete in the premier athletic conference, the Big Ten. We have tremendous student athletes, and we have a world-class education to offer them. Therefore, I'm confident we will find a great coach to lead our storied program. Until then, our focus, my focus, will be on the young men in our football program and providing them with the positive support and attention they deserve as they prepare for a bowl game. With that, I'd be happy to take a few questions.
Sean, what is the buyout of head coach Bo Pelini and his assistants, and where is that money coming from?
Good question, Ross. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
The approximate liquidated damages in Coach Pelini's contract is about 7.9. Certainly, there's mitigation in there should he find other employment. Our assistant coaches are about in the 4 range. They have another year on their deals. They have mitigation as well. And I imagine they'll either find employment here or elsewhere in short term. The funds will come from operational reserves in the department. We pay those liquidated damages on a month-to-month basis.
What were some of the specifics besides the on-field performance that led to the decision? And then there are a few things beyond what happened on the field.
You know, the decision, it's not so much the decision, it's the consequence of the decision and our wonderful student athletes and the impact on them and our great coaches and their families. Relative to what went into the decision, I would say it's a totality of my review in the 2 years that I've been here. There's a lot of things that I look at outside of wins and losses, academics, leadership, the way in which we're teaching and our student athletes are improving. And during my review this past year, and at the beginning of the year when I set expectations and I set standards, I had that in mind. And at the end of the day, I didn't see enough improvement in areas that were important for us to move forward to play championship caliber football. We just, for whatever reason, weren't good enough in the games that mattered against championship quality caliber opponents. I didn't see that changing at the end of the day. And Coach Pelini, I have great respect for him. He's a good football coach and a good man. It wasn't a lack of effort by him or his staff or our wonderful players. I think new leadership was in order, and we're looking forward to heading in that direction.
What standards did you have that you set before the season?
I'm not going to get into a public review, personnel review. I have too much respect for our coaches and the difficult jobs that they do, Sam. As I just said, there's standards and expectations at Nebraska. They're high, both on and off the field. And although we did win a bunch of games, we didn't win the games that mattered the most. And I think we gave Coach ample time, ample resources, and ample support to get that done. And now we're headed in a different direction.
You've also mentioned the word class in the opening statement. You said class a number of times. Has this university lost its tarnish then? I mean, your mind, is something happened to the University of Nebraska as far as a national reputation is concerned?
No. I don't believe that. We have wonderful, committed, high-character young men in our program, staff, coaches. Those are core values for us. I think everybody knows our 5 core values. And at the end of the day, that's what Nebraska is all about. We're humble, hardworking, hungry people, and we're prideful. We're going to move in that direction.
Did you ask Bo to make any changes in the staff which would have enabled him to stay on?
No, I would not do that. I have great confidence and our coaches, and you guys know me full well relative to that. I give them great latitude to do their jobs as they see fit, give them the resources that they need, and get out of the way and provide support when it's needed. And I think we've done that. And I think Coach understood that as well.
Sean, did you speak to Bo personally over the phone or describe that conversation? How long did you talk?
Dirk, I met with Coach Pelini this morning in my office for about 20 minutes. It was a cordial, professional conversation. I like Bo. Bo's a good guy and, again, a good coach. And at the end of the day, I think we both agreed it was best to go in different directions.
You think he agreed also?
You'd have to ask him that.
Did he give you reason to think that he agreed with your assessment?
After I told him that we were going a different direction, I think there was agreement that was probably a good idea.
Considering the status of the Nebraska job, will previous head coaching experience be part of the requirements for the replacement?
As I said, I'm not going to speculate about the search process moving forward, the characteristics or the people. Right now, today, up to this point, my total focus has been on this program and our young men. I don't want to do a disservice to them by thinking about what's coming next already. I want to do the right thing by this staff, by these players and their families. There'll be a time in earnest later tonight for me to start thinking about the next leader of our program. But I don't really want to get into that right now.
Are there any off-the-field concerns, things that didn't relate to winning and losing games?
Sam, I think in the totality of the circumstances, the best I would say is we didn't meet expectations both on and off the field. Getting into any specifics wouldn't be something that I'm about. Again, I think there was great effort by everyone within this program to do the right thing and well-intended. In my opinion, we just didn't get to where we needed to be, and we're going to go a different direction.
When did you make this decision?
Last night, it crystallized for me, and I contacted Chancellor Perlman to discuss it with him, and he was supportive of my decision to go a different direction, and then I notified Coach this morning.
How much were regions put in on the decision, or do they need to be? Did you get any response from them?
I did not. That was Chancellor Perlman who handled that on his end.
Are you willing to verbalize a specific win-loss standards you have for the program going forward?
What I would verbalize is what I've already said. We have high standards and expectations, and that's to play championship football. And so whatever record puts us in position to win a championship, I'm good with.
How much was it not so much the wins and losses, but how the losses came about? How much did that play into your decision?
Certainly was a factor.
Sean, will all the assistants be on for the bowl game then? I know you said Barney Cotton, will the rest of the assistants be on?
Well, Sean, we asked them. I met so after I met with Coach Pelini, we notified the coaches to come in, and I had an opportunity to meet with all of them. And as we had communicated with the coaches, we had sent out a note to our student-athletes. We wanted them to hear it from us. We have asked our coaches to stay on and serve us either through the bowl game or until the new leadership gets in place and makes decisions that way. So as I told them this morning, I have great admiration and respect for them and their families. And Nebraska does things the right way. We're going to do it right with them, and we're going to be supportive of them. And I think they'll do a terrific job preparing our young men for the bowl game.
Will they recruit in December? Then the assistants still recruit
on campus. Yeah.
Have you contracted in the past several weeks either a public relations firm or a search firm to help you through this process?
I have not.
You intend to?
No.
So you do the search by yourself?
Yes.
Are you given the history of having a previous athletic director having done that? What mistakes that he made would you like to avoid?
I'm not going to sit in judgment on what someone has done before me. I'm looking forward. I've been doing this a while, and I have great faith and confidence in my approach, and we will continue to analyze as we're moving forward. But, to make any sort of judgments about what anybody's done in the past is not my style, and isn't the right thing to talk about.
But you are aware that Steve Peterson's search in 2003 didn't go over.
What I would say is what I just said. I'm looking forward. These are difficult jobs that we have and difficult decisions that we make with a lot of different factors involved with them. So I'll leave it at that.
Sean, how important is it, because this is a unique football culture in Nebraska, how important is it to have someone with knowledge or ties to the Nebraska football program?
Good question. I'm going to respectfully decline to respond to that question for obvious reasons.
Sean, what was your sense of where the fan base was as the season progressed and looking forward about selling hope or selling results or both about selling tickets, keeping the sellout streak going?
Good afternoon, League. Appreciate the question. Supportive. We got great fans. And I know that everybody wants to win every game and be competitive in those games that matter and win championships. So I felt great support. I felt great support in the building. I lead with that. I lead in a positive manner. I lead with core values. I know the body language of our people in this building is good, and they're supportive of the folks on the second floor and our student athletes. Are there folks out there that are disappointed from time to time? Absolutely. You guys write about it every day. Am I concerned about our brand and pleasing our fans, and especially those ones who want to do it the right way in a positive way and keeping the stands full? Yeah, those are all things you need to take into consideration. But there wasn't one factor for me. It was the totality of my review over the course of the last couple years. And as I've described to you guys, my process is pretty strategic. It's pretty disciplined. It's pretty measured. It's very inclusive. It's very thorough. When I do these reviews and when I sit down with our coaches and talk to them about what the vision is and what we expect, and I do that so we can get on the same page and agree that the resources are appropriate and that I'm here, we're here to help. But at the end of the day, you know, they're going to want to run the program the way they want to run it, and we're going to sit down and hold each other accountable for it. So hopefully that answers your question, Lee.
Expectations that you had set in place and the parameters that you had built in your two-year process here, how aware were the coaches made of those expectations and standards?
Well, I think all of our coaches and staff members, for that matter, including our student athletes, understand the core of our expectations and our vision. Relative to our head football coach and what he was communicating to our assistants and all that other sort of thing, I think that's best for you'd ask them, but I think we were pretty clear about what it is that we were looking for, and that's, you know, to recruit high-character kids who are seeking an education at a world-class institution, want to do things the right way. At the end of the day, our coaches, you know, they understand that pursuing championships is what we do, and being competitive in those games that matter to pursue championships is important. And again, you guys have talked to them a bunch, and you've written after games about their feelings, and I think every time you probably come away from those interviews, those are well-intended, good people who are trying to put our young people in a position to be successful, and for whatever reason, we just weren't able to win enough games that mattered.
Essentially unprecedented to fire a coach with Bo Pelini's record. A lot of people are going to be really upset. Many players are already upset. What is your strategy? How do you unite the fan base after this?
Communicate. I'm compassionate about that. This isn't a day of celebration for me. We got a lot of really good young people in our program who are hurting, and I get that. My focus needs to be on that at this point, and to be up front with them, and to be there for them. At the end of the day, hopefully they'll understand and appreciate what they have here at Nebraska and the education they're getting here at Nebraska. But I'm full aware of that. I played this game, and I played championship-caliber football. And I understand how much we love our coaches.
Sean, what's your message to Nebraska fans who are worried about the uncertainty moving forward? What can you tell them in order to give them confidence in you as this process is starting?
What I would say is we had a lot of uncertainty where we were a couple days ago. So there was as much uncertainty in our program and where we were going as there probably is now. What's next? And so hopefully folks have faith in me to do the right thing.
Sean, you mentioned the players have voiced some disappointment over this decision and recruits as well. Do you worry about losing this recruiting class, and will that impact how quickly this search goes moving forward?
First and foremost, my concern is worry is with our kids that are in this program and making sure that they are mentored and led and pursue their degree. That's the most important thing we do here. Recruiting is important, and we will honor any commitments that we've made, and we would hope that those young people have looked at Nebraska as a place to get an education and play football at the highest level. So those things will take care of themselves in time, but we'll be very nurturing and supporting in that environment.
Plan to get in touch with recruits?
Our assistant coaches with Barney Cotton's leadership will manage that from campus.
Sean, the situation was almost in the exact same spot a year ago. Why is your evaluation different now than it was 365 days ago?
I think more than anything, it was time for me to get a sense of what we were doing and where we were going, and to be patient. And there were resources that our football program wanted and they didn't have, so I wanted to provide those. I think you guys are full well aware of what we've done from a resource perspective. And I owed it to Coach. Again, he's a good man who has always wanted to do the right thing. And so I wanted to listen, and I wanted to provide the support, and I was hopeful that we could turn the corner. And I think the easy thing would have been to go a different direction. And sometimes I don't take the easy road, and that's okay.
You're one of the top 10 highest-paid athletic directors in the country. How financially competitive will you be in terms of head coaching salary and assistant coaching pool salary going forward?
Well, I'm very blessed to be here at the University of Nebraska, and we will do what's necessary to compete at the highest level. And I've said this before, resources are not the question here at Nebraska. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be responsible and good stewards of our resources. I've seen people spend a lot of money and not do very much winning. So we're going to get it right. At the end of the day.
Are you a little nervous about maybe the exterior mindset going in that you let go of a coach with his win-loss record, you won 9 games, that type of thing? And part two would be, do you have a timetable for this decision?
No, and the timetable is as long as it takes us to find a great fit here at the University of Nebraska.
Is there a willingness on the athletic department and the administration's part to pay whatever is necessary for whatever coach you thought was best? I guess that's the question.
Number one, I think we're doing that right now. And number two, yes. We do what's necessary and reasonable. And I think that the evidence is proof of that. So that's how I'd answer that. Hopefully that answers your question, Sam. It's a good one.
To what you're talking about is that college football has changed. This is not the 1990s anymore. Nebraska doesn't have the advantages that it did. What's your response to those comments?
My response is Nebraska has everything it needs to be successful at the highest level. We can go back and analyze the 80s, the 90s, and all that other sort of stuff. It's not going to help us today. I think we're positioned to play championship caliber football here at the University of Nebraska. As I said, we have a world-class institution with an incredible education to offer prospective students and our current student athletes. Facilities aren't the question. You guys get around to a lot of different places. And the way we treat our kids is unbelievable. And if anybody's taken the time to review the annual report that I just sent out, where we went chapter and verse on what we do here at Nebraska and the economic impact associated with that, I would hope that that will open people's eyes up to what the possibilities are. I'm not going to lower our standards. I don't think Nebraskans want that. Is it a different day? Absolutely. It's a different day for everybody. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? How are you going to manage moving forward? And I feel comfortable that we're positioned with the right leader to go where we want to go.
Do you think the next guy has to have head coaching experience? Do you want him to have that?
Good question. I'm going to respectfully decline to answer that question for obvious reasons.
A couple more questions.
Did Coach Bellini ever this year vocalize to you any concern about a lack of support from the administration side?
No, and I think Bo's been pretty public in the last few months about how supportive we've been. I'm appreciative of that, and we'll continue to do that. You know, at the end of the day, the support gets down to the level that matters, and that's our student athletes. We're bringing them here to shape their lives and get them an education and make them better people as they move along. So, to me, putting resources that way is a good thing, and we're fortunate to be able to have resources to do it.
Did your view of the program drastically change in the last month? 1 month ago, this is an 8-1 team that's being talked about maybe making the Final Four, and today you're looking for a new coach.
No, I've been optimistic and supportive all the way through, and I've been pretty disciplined about waiting until the last regular season game. Generally, I like to wait until after the bowl game to make any sort of observations, but I've always felt like we've had an opportunity to compete, and we've provided what's necessary to do that, and so we'll hopefully that answers your question.
Does Nebraska have the talent level right now, in your opinion, to compete for the Big Ten championship?
That's not my expertise. I would hope that we do. I see it from afar. I think our coaches have obviously seen that, and that's why they brought these young men into our program. And at the end of the day, I think we have kids in our program that are capable of winning championships.
Sean, did you notify Tom Osborne of your decision? And if not, what do you think his reaction will be?
I did notify Coach. I did. After I spoke with Coach Pelini, I had one of my assistants give him a heads up because I had some other people to talk to within the staff. But I followed up and left two messages for Coach. So hopefully I'll be able to actually catch up with him here in the next day or so. I know he's headed to Dallas for the college football selection deal, but I do hope to follow up with him at some point. I did not talk to him before I made the decision.
Nebraska was eliminated from Big Ten competition for winning the championship last Saturday. Why did it take you 7 days to make that crystallization? You said it crystallized you for last night. And what was the crystallization moment? What was the epiphany?
The test had been taken, so it was time for me to sit down and reflect and be comprehensive and inclusive in my review. So I want to continue to be disciplined that way.
You prefer to have waited until after the bowl game, but you chose in this case to make that assessment now. Why?
To be fair to our coaches and staff members and give them as much notice as possible so they could possibly either find other employment or with our new leader maybe catch on here. So I wanted to be able – I'm very sensitive to them and their families and trying to do right that way.
Can you just wrap up all your talk on championship caliber football? Fair to say that is your number one priority moving forward in your search?
It's not my number one priority. I have a lot of priorities. Our number one priority is to educate our young people. Along the way, we want to compete for championships. And we want to do it the right way. We want to do it according to our core values and the way in which the Nebraska faithful would want us to. So there isn't one priority. There's a bunch of them. But the key one is to educate. That's what we do.
How close did you come to making a coaching change last season?
Last season? Not really, not close.
How much did the sellout streak, how much did donors play a part in? How much concern did you have about those two aspects, I guess, of this program?
I didn't have a lot of concern there. I just continue to be optimistic, and as I said earlier, our people are really positive. You know, they want to support what it is we do, and hopefully they're in it for all the right reasons, and that's to provide unconditional support for our student athletes. So I felt good all along about the support we're getting, and certainly the uncertainty has lingered and on both sides of the fence. So hopefully we can all come together when the dust settles and continue to stroke forward in the same direction for the same thing.
I know you're a big positivity, and I think that's a theme that comes up, energy, positivity. Did you feel like there was an energy between the football program and the fans, the football program and the media, that didn't fall in line with your overall vision?
You know, I've really been overly judgmental about that. My vibe is you, our fans, our coaches, our students all want to do the right thing and head in the right direction. Oftentimes we stray away from that a little bit, but my focus has really been trying to lead in a positive manner with great values and not be overly judgmental about those sort of things. I'm really excited to look towards the future.
Roger, how does fan donor input weigh into your decision?
It's important. It's certainly a factor that I think you need to consider. But I try to separate myself from all of that and be disciplined and give equal weight along the way. So I'm not overly persuaded by the negativity.
What do you want people to know about Bo Pelini today? And what do you want them to know about you?
I think we need to thank Coach Pelini for the service that he's provided to the University of Nebraska and the sacrifices that he's made.
Mitch?
Sean, there are any of the other prestigious openings there already are around the country. And in your mind, what distinguishes Nebraska for top candidates over some of the other places that are going to be seeking coaches?
Not going to go there other than to say that I think this one's the best.
Can you come in contact with bowl committees?
Yeah, we have regular contact through the league. We have a bowl call today.
Sean, you talked about waiting until the end of the regular season. Did the win against Iowa even play into a factor in your decision?
Sure it did. Our kids showed great character and resiliency in a tough environment. So it certainly did play a factor, but in the final analysis, I had to evaluate where Iowa was.
Did you talk to Pelini afterwards?
Pardon?
Did you talk to him afterwards?
I did. Yes. What did you say to him? I told him we got great kids in our program, and that I appreciate the way that they've gone about their business.
In the final analysis, you had to evaluate where Iowa was. Can you complete that thought? Where did that factor? Why was that a factor?
As I said earlier, as I looked back on the outcomes, I'm trying to look at who are championship caliber football teams in that moment, right? And how competitive were we in those games? We weren't playing for a conference championship, and neither was Iowa. And I have great respect for Iowa. It's a wonderful institution and a great football program. But in the final analysis, their record was where it was, and ours was where it was.
Fair enough.
Got it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day. You got it.
And And that's the end of the Sean Eichhorst press conference. Nebraska will go in a different direction from Bo Pelini. We'll bring you more updates on that and rejoin Doug right after this.
1460 KXPN 1550 KICS, your ESPN superstation. Starting your morning from 5 to 9 with
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike.
If it happens in sports, Mike and Mike are talking about it.
And then we'll help you
get in the herd with Colin Cowherd.
Then get some local perspective at 11 with Doug and Daddy.
If you follow high school sports, you get the opportunity to be excited about this. If you don't follow high school sports, we're going to talk college sports. We're going to talk pro sports. I think we kind of do that every day.
Then have an afternoon filled with sports and laughter.
SVP and Rosillo. SVP and Rosillo.
Then get all the Husker talk you can handle.
Hey, it's Chris Schmidt from Hail Varsity Radio. We cover Nebraska, the Big Ten, recruiting outcomes predictions every weekday from 4 to 6.
Then we bring you live play-by-play action from high school to pros of football, baseball, volleyball, horse race, basketball, golf. 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, your ESPN superstation.
And welcome back to Memorial Stadium here in Lincoln with continuing coverage of Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst's press conference today, the firing of Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini after a seventh season here, all winning nine games or more. As one pointed out, though, that he will not have an opportunity to lose a fourth game in a bowl game, which will be coached by Barney Cotton and the assistant coaches here at Nebraska, and a lot of feeling that that will be the Holiday Bowl, most likely against Southern California, who went out and destroyed Notre Dame yesterday. But Athletic Director Eichhorst spoke for just over a half an hour, used the words of praising Coach Pelini, and also talking about the very many good things that he had done, but felt that it was time for this program to make a move, saying that it all came to fruition last night. And he talked to Coach Pelini this morning. Coach Pelini was informed during a 20-minute meeting that they were looking to move in a different direction. Athletic Director Eichhorst stated that after he told Coach Pelini that, Coach Pelini agreed that it may be best for both parties to move in a different direction. Eichhorst would not comment on the next Nebraska coach. A variety of different questions being asked, kind of bouncing around that particular topic. Does he have to have Nebraska ties, and so on and so forth? And Athletic Director Eichhorst did a very good job of staying away from that. A couple of other observations that had nothing to do necessarily with what Mr. Eichhorst was saying. There were no players in attendance here today. No players standing in the back. Usually you'll see that if a coach retires, if a new coach is hired, but did not visibly see any. Also, interesting, there was some security on the outside. Was that to keep people out, or was that just to ensure that nobody jumped Mr. Eichhorst coming in or out, media or otherwise? And again, it'd be interesting to see what that was all about here today as well. As we said, Barney Cotton will be the interim coach, and says that the buyout for Coach Pelini will be somewhere around $7.9 million and about a $4 million pool for assistant coaches. Says that Nebraska just did not show enough improvement against the good teams on their schedule, and many will say that Michigan State and Wisconsin were the best that Nebraska played this year. You throw in Miami, the big win that Nebraska had this year would have been against Miami. So we'll see how that all played out. So we've got a variety of things going on here at Memorial Stadium. We hope to maybe have one more guest to join us to talk about what we saw here, and then we will get you back to the NFL a little bit later on this afternoon. He was asked if Nebraska had lost a little class among the national perspective, kind of going towards, was Bo's antics or actions a detriment to the program? Had it started to hurt the program on a national level, on a Big Ten level? And he said definitely not. He was asked, was Coach Pelini asked to make staff changes going forward? And Athletic Director Eichhorst said definitely not. Said that the next coach may or may not have head coaching experience. He was asked about what happened off the field that may have been a challenge. and didn't really go too deep into anything off the field. A lot of questions trying to get to Coach Pelini's perceived demeanor maybe on the sidelines, and he did a very good job of not directly answering many of those questions. I got to ask him if what happened in the last month, 1 month ago, as we stated before the press conference here today, this is an 8-1 football team that was in position to possibly play in the national playoffs, the Final Four, had they won out, won the Big Ten championship. And he said not a lot had changed in his opinion, which makes you want to think, where was Nebraska a month ago, where they are today? That's when the blowout loss came. That's where Nebraska is knocked out of the Big Ten playoff consideration. And he says that he did not specifically talk with former coach and athletic director Tom Osborne, but that he has been in contact with the coach, who is on his way to Dallas as part of the college football committee. He says he has had his people, I guess you would say, inform Mr. Osborne, and that they would be talking hopefully very, very soon as both came into play. He was asked what championship caliber football is in his mind, and again reiterating being competitive with the better teams on your schedule. And I guess you would have to, as a fan base, decide what the better teams on your schedule were from time to time, from Coach Pelini taking over when Nebraska was in the Big 12 to where they are now in the Big 10. He was asked if the coaches were aware, the assistant coaches, if they were aware of all the expectations and trying to find out what some of those specific expectations were, considering Nebraska's win-loss total is almost identical over the last couple of years as they get ready for a bowl game. He says there will be no search firm hired, and this is probably a very interesting point, which may lead you to believe that Athletic Director Eichhorst already has, if not the man in mind, a list of three or four that it is definitely whittled down to, and maybe someone that could be hired in a very quick manner here. As, of course, when Bill Callahan was hired, Steve Peterson went through the search firm. It took a lot longer. Nebraska was declined quite a few times, to which many people believed was somewhat of an embarrassment to the university, because Nebraska thought that they could kind of get whoever they want, and Athletic Director Peterson found out that that wasn't necessarily the case. So no search firm, and as far as anything that had to do with what he's looking for in the next coach, he basically said no comment, and says that the current coaching staff will continue to recruit on campus but will not be traveling to recruit during this very important time of the year. Anytime you've got a coaching change, recruiting becomes very, very important. So there you go. And as that happens, Nebraska has just moved back into the national top 25, 25th in the Associated Press poll that has just been released. So, again, it just depends what side of the argument you are on, whether you wanted somebody to take over this program, or wanted somebody else, wanted Coach Pelini to return to this program. So those are the questions that are out there right now. Where will this Nebraska football team go? And of course, a lot more discussion tomorrow. We will have a longer Doug and Daddy show than usual to give you, the listeners, the fans, those that care about Nebraska football, an opportunity to voice your opinion on where this Nebraska football program will be going in the very near future. And it'll be interesting to see who Athletic Director Eichhorst has a chance to chat with and possibly hire here in the next handful of days. So a lot going on. I think we covered a lot of what has happened already today here. Again, the statement coming down this morning at just around 9:40, where Athletic Director Eichhorst said earlier this morning, I informed Coach Bo Pelini of our decision to move forward in a new direction. Coach Pelini served our university admirably for 7 years and led our football programs transition to the Big Ten Conference. We wish Coach Pelini and his wonderful family all the best and thank him for his dedicated service to the university. Chancellor Harvey Perelman's name wasn't really brought up in the press conference today either, although Perelman did also issue a statement, and many people believe there was a disconnect between the chancellor and the head football coach going back a number of years, saying, I fully support Sean's decision to make a change in the leadership of our football program and wish Bo and his family all of the best. I'm confident that Sean will find the best coach, teacher, and fit for this university and our football program. We're going to take a quick break and be back to kind of wrap things up here at Memorial Stadium. NFL football getting close to the second half, but we're going to take a quick break here. Merritt Lawson doing our producing back at the studio. We want to thank him for coming in on this Sunday as well. We'll take a quick break and be right back to Lincoln.
1460 KXPN 1550 KICS, your ESPN superstation. Starting your morning from 5 to 9 with
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike.
If it happens in sports, Mike and Mike are talking about it.
And then we'll help you
get in the herd with Colin Cowherd.
Then get some local perspective at 11 with Doug and Daddy.
If you follow high school sports, you get the opportunity to be excited about this. If you don't follow high school sports, we're going to talk college sports. We're going to talk pro sports. I think we kind of do that every day.
Then have an afternoon filled with sports and laughter.
SVP and Rosillo. SVP and Rosillo.
Then get all the Husker talk you can handle.
Hey, it's Chris Schmidt from Hale Varsity Radio. We cover Nebraska, the Big Ten, recruiting outcomes predictions every weekday from 4 to 6.
Then we bring you live play-by-play action from high school to pros of football, baseball, volleyball, horse race, basketball, golf. 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, your ESPN superstation.
The Doug and Daddy Show is off for the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. We hope you enjoy it. We'll be back on Monday to recap the Nebraska-Iowa contest and where the program and coaching staff is heading into a bowl game. Jimmy Langland will be in as we begin our December of 2014. Winter sports season is upon us. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see you Monday at 11.
Doug and Daddy, brought to you by the Midway Auto Group. Think Midway.com, weekdays at 11 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
And welcome back to a special Doug and Daddy show here from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, part of our continuing coverage of the firing of Nebraska head football coach Bo Pelini and all the news conference that went on today with athletic director Sean Eichhorst. We will chat with Sean Callahan from Husker Online here momentarily. He is working through another obligation at this time, but we will talk with Sean here momentarily. And if you missed any of the press conference, we will put that up on our Doug and Daddy Show podcast, and you'll be able to hear that in its entirety, nearly 35 minutes from Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst talking about when the decision was made, what he expected from the program. Really didn't get overly specific into things that they were discussed between him and Coach Pelini about where they needed to improve, because obviously it came down to the blowout loss to Wisconsin, losing to Michigan State, and not being in position to play for a championship. Coach Pelini's teams played for three conference championships over his tenure with Nebraska. So waiting on Sean Callahan to join us, a couple other comments from the athletic director. He was asked if he was worried about what the national perception would be of this football program after firing a 9-3 coach. He said, when you fire a coach with this record, the key is communication with those that support the program, those that play for the program, those that work with the program, and talked about if fans are worried a little bit. He said there was really not enough time for him, he didn't feel, to make a decision on a coach last year. After he had only been here for about half a year, he didn't want to make that change. Of course, as the question was kind of posed, we were basically at this same point last year after the Iowa game and a less than pleasant press conference with Coach Pelini after the Iowa game, where he stated, if they want to fire me, fire me. And the coach was obviously not fired. Eichhorst came out in support, but then saying things just didn't work out so well this year for the Nebraska football program. So despite a seventh straight 9-win season, Nebraska has fired head coach Bo Pelini. The rest of the coaching staff will stay on board for the bowl game. Again, all signs right now is pointing to the Holiday Bowl back out in San Diego. Couple of other comments from late here. Eichhorst said that Coach Pelini never said that he didn't think he was getting support from the athletic program. Said Nebraska has everything it needs to succeed at this level, and says that he thinks Nebraska has the resources to play at a championship level, both conference and on a national stage. So a few of those. Never really defined the exact moment that it came into being as far as the coach deciding that it was a good time to have this happen with the Nebraska football program. And again, going back to that last year, not making the choice, he said major thing was that it was the right time to make a move. And so that's exactly what he has done. Chris Schmidt is back with us here from Hale Varsity, 4 to 6 weekdays, and he's got a chance to join us. Schmidt, what'd you think of the press conference? A lot of lawyer talk or a lot of facts in there?
A lot of facts. A lot of facts by Sean Eichhorst. He is no doubt very skilled at his other profession, the world of law. It was a little bit lawyerly, but I thought he was pretty sincere. I looked at his facial expressions. I looked at his body language a bit, and not trying to overanalyze either of those, but I thought he was extremely sincere. That's what came across to me. Is he? I don't think he wanted to do this. I think he genuinely really likes Bo Pelini as a person, and there are certain things that Sean gave him a lot of credit for with what he did in the program, but the facts he threw out there and where he wants to take Nebraska are his, that's the rock of his foundation.
So bottom line, why did Sean Eichhorst fire Bo Pelini?
Well, he said it. Bo did not win a lot of the big games. That's what my major takeaway is.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do. Because the atmosphere around the state is what? Don't get embarrassed. Can he get over the hump? Can they win the big one? And each time that there's been that opportunity, it's been Lucy pulling the football from Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. To me, that is what just kept staring him in the face. He said it crystallized for him last night.
I don't believe that one bit.
Okay. Well, if he was on the fence and you're watching Minnesota with what type of air quote talent, mm-hmm. and you're watching Wisconsin, who he knows about, and then he sees Nebraska. He's been around Nebraska for 2 years. He sees the talent Nebraska has in compared to Wisconsin, aside from a Melvin Gordon, and that's comparable with Amir. He's like, Nebraska just beat Iowa for third. And Minnesota's a player or two away from going to play Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. That slapped him in the face.
Do you believe that Nebraska was a player or two away from being 11-1? I mean, because I've had this discussion the show a number of times, okay, with people that think, hey, we're a play away from being 6-5, but we're a pick against Michigan State.
Minnesota. This is no cop-out, my man. I think they're somewhere in the middle, because you look at McNeese, you look at what changed some momentum against Miami when they were driving. I'm talking Mitch's fumble return. You look at the way that the things ended against Minnesota. You look at how things just absolutely avalanched against Wisconsin. And then you look with – you're down 17 and you rally somehow against Iowa. You're really in the middle somewhere. And that to me is where you're maybe going to stay. Maybe it changes. Maybe with some staff changes it would have helped things. But overall, you look at the defensive side of the ball, and that's where Bo hangs his hat. And I think – with the right players in the right conference, it is absolutely killer defense. Right now, it's square peg, round hole in the Big Ten, when brawn and physicality is more of a commodity than the speed and athleticism. You need a combination of it, obviously, but you need big boys and you need physical football. Right now, Nebraska wasn't doing that on a consistent basis. The defense was not able to stop Wisconsin and Minnesota, and at times Iowa.
Chris Schmidt, host of Hale Varsity, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, special Sunday edition. Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst with his 35-minute press conference today discussing the firing of Bo Pelini.
What did you take away?
Well, there was a lot of things I wasn't overly changed my opinion on, I guess, after this press conference. But I took away that they had – I think he's right about Bo saying, you know what, okay, if you want to move in a new direction, I'm not going to jump up and down. I'm not going to jump up and down and hissy fit here, mm-hmm. as some people would think that they've seen Bo do, that he's going to take the mature approach, probably knowing that he's got a job waiting for him somewhere along the line, whether it's collegiately or in the NFL. And, you know, some of what I heard on the way down here was, you know, Bo may agree. He gave it his best effort, and his best effort maybe wasn't good enough.
Energy level around the program between the players and coaches, I think, was okay. But just from a fan base standpoint and just
That's a whole new show.
I know, but a belief. I think that was a major consideration. This is year two, and this is year two of the same conversation.
How soon can Nebraska win, no matter who the coach is? As much success as whatever you
they
bring
can
in
win
next
year.
Year.
Absolutely. Defensively, and again, this is all going to be contingent on guys sticking and staying. Who knows what the players are going to do? You've seen social media like me today. They are hopping mad, and they deserve to be. The next 24 to 48 hours is giant by Sean Eichhorst to reach out to the student athletes like he said he was going to, and kind of quell their emotion and anger. They can be mad, but tell what Nebraska is. You came for Nebraska, not the coach, and that's not always the case from a recruiting standpoint, but that needs to be reinforced and sold and purchased. You have a great interior defensively. You have good depth interiorly on the defensive side of the ball. Running back-wise, don't know, after Amir. Quarterback-wise, you have some young pups in the pipeline along with Tommy going into year three. At offensive line, with what you have in Gates and some of the other kids that are redshirts this year, I think you have a good core of offensive linemen. And on the outside, tackle-wise, I think you'll be okay as well with Alex back. So I think you have some horses back, but you're losing Randy, you're losing Amir, and those guys made a lot of plays over the last couple of years.
I'm guessing Moss doesn't come back either.
No, you're right. I wasn't even talking about Avery because I thought it was a long shot for Avery to be back anyway.
One of the interesting things I thought was right at the end when Mr. Eichhorst believes that Nebraska has everything it needs to be a championship-level football team. Do you agree?
Let's go through the list here. Facilities, check. Fan support, check. Conference that's winnable, check.
Check.
Okay. Private jets to go fly wherever you need to fly to. Eichhorst made that change, check. Do you have a brand name? Check. And are you able to now spin it to do something that Ole Miss and Mississippi State have done? As a recent example, come help us make that next step.
Ironic, Nebraska moves back into the top 25 just moments ago in the Associated Press poll after their overtime win against Iowa. What's the biggest negative thing around the Nebraska football program right now from if you're not a Nebraskan, if you're one of those recruits, if you're one of those coaches or an assistant coach that is considering coming here, what's the biggest negative?
Well, you just popped a guy who won 71% of his games. That was true back in 2003, that's true now. And you better find a guy with the right mentality or mindset to embrace the expectation and those challenges, correct? Because is that a roadblock or is that a selling point? Nebraska shouldn't be a hard sell, but when you're talking about coaches and families and moving and staffs, well, their mindset is, well, what if we go 7-5? When does the clock start ticking on us?
How much will Nebraska be missed, Bo Pelini be missed?
I think, you know what, I think it's 50-50. I think that's probably a little strong. The vocal minority. The vocal minority will not miss him. I think if you're a Nebraska fan and you run into Bo Pelini, you say thank you. You say thank you for your hard work. Say thank you for the beliefs you have. Say thank you for the way you tried to raise 105 and then – plus the walk-ons. He's also a guy that believed in the walk-ons, mm-hmm. too. You say thank you for all you've done. And I hope that happens.
Chris Schmidt, host of Hail Varsity, 4 to 6 every weekday here on ESPN Radio, based out of 1480 here in Lincoln. And Schmidt, final thoughts?
You know, this is a day that's absolutely it's shock. And many thought, well, maybe you'll make a change, maybe you won't. It's still shocking that it happened, and it's happened to a guy that you screamed for to come back and be your coach in 2003, some of you. And you remember this Sunday press conference in 2007 when Bo came back after helping LSU win the national championship.
Remember how happy everybody was?
Everyone was smiling and fist-pounding. Oh, yeah.
This is the greatest thing that's happened in a decade.
You're feeling wonderful. Now, what are you feeling? I think there's uncertainty. But I think if you look in the mirror and say, you know, was this the move that needed to be made? If the boss in charge says you're not winning big games, you can't argue with that. You can't miss on this next hire.
Well,
I mean, that sounds super weak and super obvious, but it's the truth. You have to be awesome at this next guy, whether it's a big name or a no name. It better be the right name.
Were you surprised that there were no players here today?
No, how many cops did we see here?
Yeah, that's
right. Remember last time that we had a press conference and Frank was being let go and Bernard Thomas got loose? Okay. I mean, you know, Steve was up there just, you know, and Bernie's there smiling and like, what's going on here? Why'd you get rid of my coach? The players right now, they found out, as Sean mentioned, via email communication, and they're just right now going, you know, what the heck? That's what's going on right now. And there's been some press conferences where the head coach that was released joined the athletic director. That didn't happen today either.
And nobody asked him either if he asked Bo to join him. And most of them don't want to, obviously.
Right.
But I was surprised that at least didn't get brought up.
You know what I wonder too, and this wasn't asked, how much of this decision was solely Sean's to make? Was there pressure, not just from some guys that have a lot of green in their back pocket, but above all, was this, you know, from a chancellor standpoint?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there was no love lost, apparently,
no.
Between those two. And I mentioned that earlier here when we finished up the press conference, and that's...
What do you think? I mean, it's got to be a little bit...
If it is, it's very unfortunate and shouldn't be happening that way.
Yeah, we don't know.
You're micromanaging. I hope the math and history and science departments are doing very well here at the University of Nebraska, Mr. Perlin.
Well, the place I failed math in seven times is now a luxury dorm for the smart kids, so I think it's going okay.
Well, the bottom line is we move on. We're where we are. Are we in the same place we were 7 years ago? Because I don't think
no,
so. Everybody
no.
was fired up.
No, Bo moved the program well forward from where they were. He brought the fan base together. And he, to be honest with you, the first 2 years here, the guy absolutely nailed expectations. And even you go back to last year with all the injuries and issues and toxicity level, for the guy to win nine games was incredible last year.
Chris, I asked Athletic Director Eichhorst, I'll ask you, in 1 month, this all unraveled. 8-1
One of those Nebraska days that starts out 60 and sunny and turns into 12 and cruddy.
From
right?
yesterday to today, yeah. Man. We drove through Lincoln. It's 75 yesterday. Uh-huh. This time today, yeah. It's 18. Mr. Eichhorst didn't really – he said he was still believing in the program and gave his answer to what changed in the last month. But, boy, it sure seemed like from his answer, he was prepared to make a move at 8-1.
Here's what changed, okay? You have a very manageable schedule, not easy because of the road games, but based on how things have played out, and you have year one, you're reserving judgment, as he said. It was too soon to make a call. Year two, you're going into this. You got Amir back. You got this defense back, and you didn't get better. You probably peaked against Miami. You had a good second half against Northwestern, and then – you got dominated for three quarters against Sparty.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's a lot of lipstick used, and it looked okay in the end. And that's a credit to the players fighting back. And then you had another opportunity. You're able to have a second impression, and it went horribly wrong after being up 14 at Wisconsin. And once Wisconsin hit, the record set, the way the thrashing took place, and then things exploded. And then you follow that up with Minnesota, up after being up 14. That was the end. It shifted like that because the bounce back didn't happen against Minnesota. There was no, all right, here's your second chance to get a big pelt on your wall. They didn't do it. You're kind of reprieved from what happened against Michigan State. In those two games, you have eight quarters of football. Nebraska played two good quarters of football. And that kind of continued to resonate, I think. And then to be down 17 to Iowa and come back and win, which is again, a credit to the kids and the coaches. But the point is you were down 17 to Iowa. All that just kind of went meth lab and boom.
Well, I guess the one thing that will, resonate with me showing – the class that was talked about a little bit during the press conference is that Nebraska could have just folded tents Friday, down 17, and for whatever that reason was, they won the football game.
And that's the thing that sticks out to me about Bo Pelini most is how he got a lot of juice out of his kids, man. He got those guys to respond in the most difficult situations. I think there's a lot of difficult situations, which is the unfortunate part to try and respond to. But he cared for those guys like they were his kids. And that's lost. That's not common. It's more of a mercenary sport now where go get me a stud athlete that's NFL probable. Come play for me. Don't care about you. Go do your thing. It's use me. I use you. That's not what Bo Pelini's about. He's about more than football, and I think that's what sticks out to me.
Well, in my heart, I think everybody knew before kickoff on Friday. I truly believe that. So the crystallization Friday night, I think that was warrior speak for us.
You just couldn't go into next year with this lack of energy.
We just have a release here from Barney Cotton, who says the following, who has been named the interim coach to take care of the team through the month of December and up to the bowl game, which presumably right now is the Holiday Bowl. And that may change now. They may say, well, we know what's going to happen here. Nebraska may slide down a little bit, but here's the statement from Barney Cotton. Quote, I feel it is my duty to be there for our staff and to show love and support for our players. I accepted this responsibility because of my loyalty to Bo, this staff, and our players. I appreciate the confidence that Sean has shown in me during this tough circumstance. I will encourage our players to finish their classwork to the best of their abilities, to continue to be great citizens, and to give every last ounce of effort in their preparations for the upcoming bowl game. More than anything else, I will encourage them to be good teammates to each other. It'll be interesting because I think the next breath of energy in this football program will be the spring game next April.
You tell me, Doug, what moving forward now, if you're a Nebraska fan, you got uncertainty, who's next? Is there going to be a breath of fresh air or is there going to be tattered nerves come spring ball?
Everybody's going to be nervous when BYU rolls into Lincoln.
Right.
But they're not starting with the Patsy. Every game that has anybody of a 500 level or above going to Miami, as soon as Nebraska loses that game at Miami next year, if they do, then Nebraska fans are going to quit worrying about it and say, well, maybe we got a chance to win the Big Ten. As soon as they don't have a chance to win the Big Ten, we're going to be farther away than we are
sitting here today. Would you have status quo? And that's the rub. You know what?
Yeah, here we go again.
Right, and
nothing's
now
nothing's changed.
Right, and that's the narrative.
Well, let's get the folks back to the NFL. We have taken a little over 90 minutes of their time today, and we will have a lot more talk tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, which we will get going early tomorrow. And then, of course, Hail Varsity will be on from 4 to 6 as well tomorrow. Or are you tweaking that?
No, we are. We are loaded up. Garth Glissman will join us. We will have Charlie McBride with us. Mondays with Charlie. Bobby Bowden will be on the program.
All right. Sounds good. Great get. And Chris, thanks for joining us here today, man.
Doug, thanks, man.
Chris Schmidt, along with me, Doug Duda, part of the Doug and Daddy Show special on this Sunday as Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini released after a 9-3 season, 71% winning over the last 7 years, and the search for a new coach underway. How much of a search it is, interesting, because no search firm being hired, which should mean Mr. iCourse has a very good idea of 3 or 4 candidates that will be at the very top of his list that I would believe would definitely be considering to come to Nebraska. We'll talk more tomorrow, folks, for our producer engineer Merritt Lawson, for the folks here in Lincoln for their hospitality, and for Chris Schmidt, I'm Doug Duda saying we now rejoin NFL football here on ESPN Radio.